The first part of the lecture today will be devoted to see some examples of functions of several variables. And see Taylor's formula in practice through pictures. But before I can do this, I have to say you something more about, in particular, the second order Taylor's formula. So here you have the first and the second order formulas. We wrote them considering we considered B rather than X, so it is enough to replace B with X minus X bar in your formulas, and you get these two formulas. What are they essentially saying? Well, here, the right-hand side is a linear function in X. If you forget the existence of the residual, so this will not be an equality actually. Okay? But if X is very close to X bar, this is very small, and so this can be considered an approximation of the value of the function at X. Taylor's formulas provide you with a linear approximation. This is a linear term, and these two are constant values. Okay. What about second order Taylor's formula? The one in which we have the Hessian matrix, in which we have the second order derivatives. Well, you can argue exactly in the same way. If X is very close to X bar, this is very small, you can forget about it, and so this right-hand side is an approximation of the value of F at X. This one was a linear approximation, and it corresponds to this bar, and here you have an additional term. Okay? In this term, X, the components of X, appear in pairs. Okay? If you do the actual computation, you will find some coefficients which multiply, let's say, xi times xj for all I and j, and then you have the sum all over the terms. Okay? This kind of function is called a quadratic function. Quadratic means exactly that it is a polynomial of degree 2 in the x1, x2, xn variables. We will see that quadratic functions are very relevant in optimization. So, they require some further time. So, what is a quadratic function in general? Okay. A quadratic function is a function that can be written in this way. X is in Rn, and the function is of this kind. Let's say, one half X transpose Qx, where Q is an n by n matrix, plus a linear term B transpose X, where B is a vector in Rn, plus, if you want, some constant value. Okay? So, these are the quadratic functions. if you develop the computation, this will be,
let's make it consistent.
By QKL, I indicate the generic element of the matrix, U capital Q, XK, XL, plus the sum over K from 1 to N of BK, XK, plus, okay? These are the second order terms. Without any loss of generality, we can suppose Q to be symmetric. Why? Well, here you have, let's take for instance K equals 1 and L equals 2. Now, sorry, let's take for instance the indexes 1 and 2. Here in this sum you have 1 and 2 when k is 1 and l is 2, but you also have them when k is 2 and l is equal 1. So that term you have q1, 2, x1, x2, and then you have q2, 1, x1, x2, after x2, x1. Okay? So, actually you have this. Okay, so you can write it this way. You divide it by 2 and you sum here, if you replace QKL with QKL plus QLK divided by 2, it appears twice in the two summations, and so you get the original value. Okay. So, if Q is not symmetric, you can replace Q by Q plus each transpose divided by 2, and you will get a symmetric matrix. This is symmetric. You take the transpose of the matrix and it is the same. Okay. So, we can suppose Q to be symmetric. And we know that symmetric matrices have nice properties. The most relevant... The most relevant property is that the eigenvalues are out. The eigenvalues of symmetric matrix are real numbers. There is no complex eigenvalue. This function here is a quadratic function. Okay? Make all the computation. This is a constant. These are linear terms, and these are, if you, when you multiply x, the matrix x, you get second order terms, and when you multiply x, the matrix x bar, you get additional first order terms. As an exercise, you can make the boring computation, and you can find out what is the matrix Q, what is the vector B, and what is C. Okay? Well, you will find out that the matrix Q is this one. Okay? While the other terms are less nice to write, I don't write them, you have them on the lecture notes. Okay? But this is important. Second order Taylor's formula is telling you that if you are close to x bar, you can approximate the value of the function at the point with a quadratic function. Okay? Now I try to turn this on. I don't want to make the computation. There's an exercise over there, which will be very relevant to us. Take the quadratic function and compute its gradient. Okay? Computing the gradient of this quadratic function at a generic point means you take the derivative with respect to the x1, with respect to x2, and so on. You will find out that the gradient is qx plus b.
This is nice.
And then you can compute the second order partial derivative. Okay? The derivative with respect to xi, the derivative with respect to xj. And okay. And you will find out that the Hessian matrix of the quadratic function is the matrix Q, the matrix of the which provides the coefficients of the second order terms. Okay? Here on the screen you have the computation which is on the lecture notes. Okay? You pick a variable xi and you take the derivative of this. Okay? Each time k is equal to I or L is equal to I, you have xi here, and so you take the derivative. Okay? And the same here, for k equal I, you are left with vi. Okay? And if you check this, since here you have one up, it's having twice this thing, which is exactly the ith components of Qx. Okay? I don't want to spend time on this computation, but you can do it. It's easy, because it's a polynomial. You just have to take the derivatives. Okay? And the derivatives of polynomials are easy to compute. Okay? It's just a bit boring. And then you do the same. You take the derivative with respect to xj of this function here. Okay? And here in my computation you have this expression. And you will find out that this is linear, so you take the derivative just when k is equal to L, because otherwise the terms xj does not appear, and you get this, which is the ij element of the matrix Q. So, it's an exercise you can do by your own, in the details. What is important is that you remember this. Okay? The gradient is a linear function, Qx plus b. The Hessian matrix is the matrix Q itself. Okay? And notice that if the function is quadratic, the Hessian matrix does not depend on the point x where you compute it. Okay? It's always the same, which is in general is not true. The gradient changes with the point, you can see. Okay? You take another x, you get another value here, another vector here. Questions? So, I want to go back to this and show you pictures. I'm saying first order Taylor's formula is providing you a linear approximation of the function around the point. Around a fixed point, x bar. Second order formula is giving you an approximate value for the function by a quadratic approximation of the function itself if you are close to the point. Okay? So, first I'm showing you an example with n equal 1, and then I'll show you some examples with n equal 2. N equal 1, the graph of the function is in the plane, the one you are familiar with from the first year, from calculus, and then we show some graphs in a function of two variables. The graph has the two variables and the value, so it's three-dimensional, okay? Okay, two variables and the value of the function provides the third dimension, okay? So a graph of the function is the set of pairs x, f of x, okay? So this is the graph of x. Okay? So come on. So, here it is. This is a function of one variable. It is this, okay, it's very small here. It is x cubed minus 7x squared plus 4x minus 1, okay? And this is the graph of the function between minus 1 and 5, okay? Let's take x bar equal to 1, okay? We can compute the derivatives. It's easy because the function is a polynomial or just one variable. The derivative, which is the gradient in this case, is 3x squared minus 14x plus 4, and the second order derivative, which is also the Hessian matrix, we are with n equal 1, so this is the matrix 1 times 1, so it's a number. It is 6x minus 14, okay? And I choose x bar equal 1. It's here. Here's the value, okay? Now, let's take the first order Taylor's formula. The graph of this function, the function is in red, is what? It's a linear function. Okay? So the graph of the linear function is a line. And it is, I made the computation and it is this line. 4 minus 7x. Okay? See? It's the black line. It has the same value of the function in x bar. Okay. And then it provides a linear approximation of the function. The approximation is good here, when you are close to 1, and then becomes bad. Okay? I mean, very bad. Here the function goes down and the line goes up. Okay? In this part. So, the approximation is good only when you are close to the point. And then I computed this function, given by second-order Taylor's formula, okay? So this is a quadratic function. What is a quadratic function of one variable only? So it's polynomial of degree 2. So the function is?
Z, 0.
No, a polynomial of degree 2.
Of one variable. What is it? The graph. A parabola. Okay?
So, I computed the coefficients of this polynomial of degree 2. Okay, I have to take this value for x equal, for x bar equal 1, and substitute and use them as coefficients here.
And the function that comes out is this parabola in red. Okay?
So, the graph of this function is that parabola in red there. Okay? You see, the vertex of the parabola is somewhere here, and it is done this way. In x bar, the value of the parabola is exactly the value of the original function. Okay? And then it provides a quadratic approximation of the function. Okay? The approximation, once again, is good only around the point. Okay? But, the error, the residual, goes to zero faster than the square of the norm. While for the line, it goes to zero faster than the norm. Okay? So, it provides a better approximation. You see? Around the point here, this is a better approximation than this other one. Okay? But once again, when you are far from the point, the approximation becomes bad. Okay? You have no guarantee if you are far from the point, because you don't know if these residuals are small or not. They could be half, they could be big. You know that they are small as x approaches x bar. So here, as the point approaches 1. Okay? So, Taylor's formula are a way to provide approximations to function through linear functions, first order, quadratic functions, second order. Okay? Exercise. Take the quadratic function. Okay? And compute the quadratic approximation. What do you think it has? You take a quadratic function and you try to approximate it with a quadratic function. Okay? So, this amount should be the best quadratic function that approximates the function. The function itself is quadratic, so if this is a good formula, they should be equal. Okay? The residual should be zero. And indeed, it is so. Okay? So, if you, here you have the gradient and the Hessian matrix. Substitute here, and you will find out that you get once again the function. So the quadratic approximation through Taylor's formula of the quadratic function is the function itself. Okay? In the same way, if your function is linear, the first order approximation is the function itself. Okay? But in general, functions are not linear, are not quadratic, have their own behavior, like the blue function here. And so, Taylor's formulas provide a linear and a quadratic approximation around the point. Okay? So this was... Oh, what is this? Okay. This was one variable. Okay? Now, I'll switch to several variables, but we can draw examples with two variables. Okay? This is a function, this is a polynomial of two variables, okay? And this is the graph of the function, okay? On the plane here, you have the pair of points, x1 and x2, and on the third axis, you have the value of the function. So this is the graph of the function, okay? The different colors, I'm sorry, this,
The projection is not very good.
Give you the value. Blue are the smaller values, then you get, as the values increase, you get to green, to yellow, to red, to dark red. Okay? So this is the graph of the function. Let's take the linear approximation. Okay? For instance, around x bar equals 0. Okay? Well, it turns out that the linear approximation is the function which is always zero. Okay? You compute the derivatives, and the gradient is zero, the value of the function at the point is zero, so this is the function's value is always zero. It means that the linear approximation, which in three dimensions the graph of a linear function is a plane, is x1, x2, and the value of the function which is always zero. And this is its graph. Okay? 0, 0 is this point at the center. The value is here. So what you get is an horizontal plane. Okay? Which touches the graph of the function in 0, 0. Okay? And if you are close to 0, the approximation is good. As you go away from zero, the approximation becomes worse and worse. Okay? Because this is always at level zero, and this is going down. I can do the same with another point, for instance, 0 minus 2/5. You can compute the linear approximation. And you get that the linear approximation is this function here. Okay? So, the point is here, and this is the linear approximation. It's a plane, but in this case it's not an horizontal plane. Okay, it goes up. It touches the graph of the function here, and then it tries to approximate the graph of the function. But once again, as you get farther and farther from the point, 0 minus 2/5, the approximation gets worse and worse. And then I try to zoom. Next feature are zooming in this area. You see that the more you zoom, the more the two graphs are similar. Okay? I mean, the original picture goes from 1 to minus 1. This picture goes from minus 0.15 to minus 0.65. Okay? Let's try to see what happens with the second order. Okay? I take exactly the same function. I take, once again, 0, 0 as a point. This is 0, you compute this is 0, this will be a matrix, it will be, let me see, 0, 0, 0 minus 2, if you compute it. And so this second order approximation becomes this very easy function, okay? Which is a quadratic function, it's polynomial of degree 2. Let's see the graph. So, the graph of the function, once again, is the same. This is the function. And this is its approximation. Okay? The approximation is good around 0, 0. Somewhere here. Okay? And you see, it's this quadratic function here. Okay? It's done this way. Very regularly, while the other function is as a different curvature. Okay? If I zoom, here it is. This is the original function, and this is the quadratic approximation. And if I keep zooming, the approximation becomes better and better. I did the same with the other point, 0 minus 2 over 5. The second approximation is this one. Okay?
Second order.
Yeah. So all these are, let's say it roughly, very informal and mathematically the name is wrong. Parabolas of several variables. Okay. Actually, they are curves of second order. The name is different, but you can consider them as the generalization of the parabola. Okay. And indeed, it is this one. Okay? It has the same kind of behavior. And then, if you take, I'm zooming around the point, and as you keep zooming, the approximation becomes better and better. I didn't make a picture in which you have the first and second order approximation together because you're not able to understand which is the function, which is the first order and the second order approximation, while in one variable here it's easy. Okay? You could put the three of them all together. So in one variable it's a line and a parabola. In R2, so the graph is in R3, the first approximation is a plane and the second approximation is a quadratic function, which reminds you of a parabola somehow. Okay? Let me see what... I should have also... And then we end this introductory part. Some examples, yeah. Functions, just to see a couple of functions. This is the norm in R2, okay? And this is its graph, okay? Goes up, and if you see the same color, the function of the same color, which means roughly the same value of the function, they describe circles. Yeah, and then you take the square root. And then another thing that we will use in the past is project the graph of the function on the plane in which you have your variable. This is x1, x2, and the third x gives you the value of the function. Okay? Project the graph on this plane. Okay? And you get drawings like this. So it's the plane, it's the domain of your function, R2, and the colors tell you roughly the value of the function. Dark blue is more, blue it gets small but increasing, and then you go to green, higher values, even higher values with yellow, and then red. Okay? So when you make these drawings, when you have this picture, you have an idea of where the function is taking big and small values. Okay? Another function, this is the sign of p times x1, x2. One of the examples we use to compute derivatives. The graph of the function is done this way, like the sign in one variable. It goes up and goes down. But here it does it in all the directions of the plane. And this is, I think, okay, on a larger domain. That was -1, 1, and this is -2, 2. Okay? And this, if you look it from above, okay, and these are the area where you have the roughly the same types of the same kind of values. Okay.
But the derivative of the function.
Well, depends. You can. I mean, I define this function.
Yes,
another function. Okay. And then these are the examples we use. This is the function which has all directional derivatives, but is not continuous in zero. Okay? This is its graph. Zero is here. It's doing nasty things around zero. Let's have a look from above. Okay? Do you remember? One week ago, I told you, if I take this parabola, the function on this parabola takes always the same value. I take another parabola, the function takes the same value on the full parabola, but different from the value it has on the other parabola. Okay? And this is what you see here. Okay? These are the yellow parabolas. These values are constant. Here, the values are again constant along other parabolas, but with a different value. Okay? And in zero, so the function cannot be continuous. Because it should have both the yellow, let's say, and the red values, which is not possible. Okay? Whichever value you give, you find a parabola which contradicts continuity. And this is, what is this? Oh, this is the function which has partial derivatives, but is not differentiable in zero. And this is its graph. Okay? So around 0, 0, the function is not, somehow is not smooth enough. Okay? If you move along a fixed direction, yes it is, but if you move along the curve, it is not. It is not smooth. As some sort of cuspid, okay, of angle. It doesn't change smoothly. In Italian. Non cambia dolcemente. Okay? C'ha qualche punto angoloso. Che ti passi per zero. And this is the view from above, and I'm done. Okay? Okay, it's a bit early, but I think we can take a break now, because this graph and the first part, the background material for our calculus. From now onwards, we will use this material within the treatment, the study of optimization problems. Okay, so after the break, we start with the actual words.